You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 5th of January, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we've got some celebrity news today, particularly talking about actors or actresses playing actresses of another ethnicity. And of course, we are quite used to this now. We've had black actresses playing Anne Boleyn. We've had a black woman playing Mary, Queen of Scots, Lady-in-Waiting. We've had Mr. Darcy being played by a black male in Pride and Prejudice. And we complained about that, and we were called racist for doing so. And now we're being told that we shouldn't have white people playing Jewish parts in Jewish films. And this is called Jewface, and in particular Sarah Silverman recently was criticizing this. And now we have a new movie apparently coming out about Golda Meir, the Israeli prime minister, and because the actress playing her is not Jewish, there has been criticism of this. Dame Helen Mirren, no less, has been criticized after she was cast as Israel's former prime minister Golda Meir despite not being Jewish. Actress Dame Maureen Lipman, we've got the Battle of the Dames here, said Dame Helen should not have been asked to play the Israeli leader, adding that she was uncomfortable with the casting. Well, hang on a minute. Do we not have lots of Jews that play the part of Gentiles? We have Natalie Portman, who again has played Anne Boleyn, we have Scarlett Johansson, who has played her sister. And if you actually have a look at the number of Jews that are actually involved in acting, you will see that there are many of them that have played parts that should actually just be for Gentiles, but nobody complains about it. I'm not complaining about it now. I think an actor should be able to play a part of a different ethnicity, and it's a bit of a challenge for their acting. But there are quite a large number of Jews involved in the acting profession. We got Daniel Day-Lewis, Dustin Hoffman, Harrison Ford. I mean, does anybody think that Han Solo was Jewish? I don't recall Han Solo wearing a yarmulke or observing any of the Talmudic rituals during Star Wars. We have Adam Chandler, of course, Shia LaBeouf, Woody Allen, Ben Stiller, Jesse Eisenberg, Adrian Brody, Joaquin Phoenix, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Jack Black. I never thought that Jack Black was actually playing Jews in the films that he's been involved in. Daniel Radcliffe from Harry Potter fame, didn't he play a white supremacist recently? I don't recall anybody complaining about that in the media, and yet it seems okay now for Jews to complain if it's not a Jew playing the part of another Jew. And yet we get accused of being racist when we complain about Anne Boleyn being played by a black woman, which was very recently, which is basically inserting black people into our history. I mean, this isn't just somebody playing a role. This is inserting somebody into our history and claiming that they're actually somebody different. And I guess you could make that same justification that Maureen Lipman is making here about Helen Mirren playing this part. A publicity image of the film Golda, where Dame Helen portrayed Miss Meir during the Yom Kippur War in 1973, showed Dame Helen covered in a prosthetic to look more like the politician. And I think this is probably where the criticism lies, because obviously she has had to wear makeup to get her to appear Jewish. And Golda Meir is quite well known for having a distinctive Jewish nose. So Helen Mirren has this Jewish nose here. And in any other situation, I guess it could be classed as being a caricature. But of course, all it really is just trying to play the part and trying to accurately play the part. I guess it could be classed as similar to blackface in actual fact, which is, of course, why they're actually calling it Jewface. But if it's okay for black people to play Anne Boleyn, why is it not okay for Helen Mirren to play Golda Meir? And why is it not okay for all these actors of the past to have darkened their skin to try and make themselves look like black people? Again, if you're an actor or an actress, the whole point of being an actor is so that you can portray somebody else and portray somebody else accurately and convincingly. Dame Mooring told the Jewish Chronicle, "The Jewishness of the character is so integral. I'm sure she will be marvelous, but it would never be allowed for Ben Kingsley to play Nelson Mandela. You just couldn't even go there." Yes, but we have had a black woman playing Anne Boleyn, and that was allowed. So why would it not be allowed for Ben Kingsley to play Nelson Mandela? In actual fact, I think that has been a meme that was actually put out. And we're always seeing black people being put into Vikings now. Apparently, there were black Vikings. Of course, that's just completely historically inaccurate, but we're supposed to put up with that. But if you're Jewish, you don't have to put up with it. You can complain about it, and you'll get sympathy from the newspapers when you do. Miss Meir was the fourth Prime Minister of Israel and held the position from 1969 until 1974. And she is quite a famous Prime Minister, although she did actually get forced out of office because it was thought that she didn't do too well in the Arab-Israeli war that took place at the time. And this comes after Tamsin Grieg told the Daily Telegraph last month that she probably shouldn't have played a Jewish mother in Channel 4's Friday night dinner. Miss Grieg is a practicing Christian, although she does have Jewish ancestry. So she is Jewish, but she's saying that she shouldn't have been playing this Jewish character because she actually has a different religion. Well, surely if she's a Jew then and she's playing another Jew, that's perfectly fine. And it's essentially saying that if this black woman that was playing Anne Boleyn, if she'd been a Christian, then that would have been perfectly fine, even though she was black. I mean, the logic doesn't really hold up here, does it? Patrick Marber, the playwright who directed Sir Tom Stoppard's Leopoldstadt, said he did not think lived experience should be taken into consideration when casting for roles. He said to force actors to have experienced lives similar to the characters they play would deny the actor the challenge and the right to impersonate someone else. And again, that's the whole point of being a good actor, isn't it? Is that you can play somebody else who is completely different to yourself. Sarah Silverman, the US comedian, has previously slammed the casting of non-Jewish actress Catherine Hahn as Joan Rivers, calling it Jewface. Elliot Levy, who is currently playing a German Jew in Cabaret in the West End, called the argument a dystopian nightmare as he criticised the idea of people showing their papers to authenticate Jewish ancestry. And there is a much higher percentage of actors and actresses that do actually have Jewish ethnicity than their percentage of the population. It is something that Jews are naturally good at. And I guess that might well go back to years ago with crypto-Jews, where some of them would pretend to be Christian when they were really Jewish, or when they would move to another country and pretend to be the ethnicity of the country that they had moved to. So you would imagine that they would, over the years, have developed quite a talent for acting. But now, when it's Gentiles that are doing the acting and are playing these roles of Jewish people, we're being told we shouldn't be doing this. Dame Helen is a supporter of Israel, adding her name to an open letter rejecting a cultural boycott of the country. So it's not like she's even critical of Jews. She's a big supporter of Jews. I dare say she saw this as a great honour, being asked to actually play this role as Prime Minister of Israel. While promoting her film The Debt, in which she played a retired Mossad agent, she was asked by the New York Times whether she might be a secret Jew. She said she wouldn't be surprised. I guess the New York Times, when they were asking that, they were probably unaware of this term, crypto-Jew or Murano-Jews, when Jews were secretly Jews and were pretending to be Christians while still following their Jewish traditions. It's actually been a big source of friction between Gentile nations and the Jews that lived among them, was this trying to convert them into becoming Christians all the time, and in some cases saying, well, if you don't convert to being a Christian, then we're going to kick you out of the country, which was the source of the Spanish Inquisition. So you can see that there would be some friction there. And of course, when a Jew converts to being a Christian, they're still a Jew. They don't actually change their ethnicity. They're still Jewish. So that whole idea, I think, wasn't a very good idea, and it has been the cause of a lot of friction over the years. I mean, not even Jesus Christ tried to convert the Pharisees, tried to convert the Jews. So why do the church think that they should be doing that? And of course, it just sets the church up for subversion, really, because then you end up with Jews claiming to be Christian and yet still having their loyalty to the Jews once they do become Christian. And you wouldn't expect them to not have loyalty to other Jews once they became Christian. So it was rather a silly idea trying to convert them, I think. Well, last year, internet trolls branded Dame Helen racist and described her as a well-known Zionist and Israel worshipper after taking on the role of wartime Prime Minister Miss Mayor. So she's probably quite an admirer of Golda Meir. And as I suggested, I think she probably saw this as a great honour that she'd been asked to play this part. I mean, it's not even being brought up here whether she actually played the role well or whether she didn't. The film itself, Golda, is set during the Yom Kippur War in 1973, when Arab states attacked Israel. And it's worth actually going back and having a look at that to see what happened there. I know amongst nationalism we're very, very critical of Israel, but it pays to actually hear what the Israeli side of the story is, and that is what actually happened here. The Arab states did attack Israel, and Israel was occupying the Sinai for a while, which was part of Egypt, and then Israel gave it back. I do think there is a question of six of one and half a dozen of the other in this, and I do think that sometimes we're a little bit hypocritical in the way that we criticize Israel, because it is a nationalist state, it is an ethno state. The way they look after their Israeli people is good. You know, it's a good thing. It should be praised, the way that they are more concerned for their Israeli citizens than they are for anyone else. Because when we look at the way that the non-Jewish world is, particularly in Europe and in America, or particularly in Britain, we put the needs of people from Syria and Afghanistan and Africa and all these people that turn up on boats on our beaches, we put their needs ahead of the needs of our own people. And you would never see Israel doing that. And the way that the Israelis treat the Palestinians, again, that is based on their loyalty to their Israeli citizens. If the Palestinians are going to fire bottle rockets at them, then the Israelis are going to respond with tanks and air force, and they're going to flatten the Palestinians. And that really shows how much how much they value their own Israeli citizens. If anybody is going to attack an Israeli citizen, then the people that attack them are going to get hit back 100-fold. And that is really admirable for the Israelis. Even though we might side with Palestinians and say, well, it's very unjust. The Palestinians, the killed Palestinians vastly outnumber the killed Israelis. But, that's just unfortunate. But we cannot, we have to look at these things from both sides, I think. I think that's what we're best at doing as white people, is being objective and trying to look at these things from both sides. And I think it does pay us to look into the history between Palestine and Israel and look at it from the Israeli side and try to understand it from both sides. And if you're looking at it as a nationalist, then you cannot really criticize what Israel does, because, as I say, their ethnocentrism is second to none. Obviously, it's the positive ethnocentrism that I think we need to have more of in Europe, but their positive ethnocentrism it shows here with how much concern they have for their own citizens. And it's also measured up with the negative ethnocentrism, with the way that they fight back against these Palestinians. And the Palestinians do attack them. They do fire bottle rockets at them. They do come out with a lot of hostile language, and obviously the Israelis do back. So getting back to this here anyway, because what they're doing here is they're basically showing this war, but of course they're going to show it from the Israeli side, and you would expect that because Hollywood is filled with lots of Jews and lots of people with loyalty to Israel, as we see here with this Dame Helen. She's a well-known Zionist and Israel worshipper, as somebody on the internet said. So this film is obviously going to be portraying things from the Jewish point of view. If the Palestinians want to make a film that portrays it from the Palestinian point of view, or the Arabs do, then there's nothing stopping them from doing that, is there? It would be good to see that anyway. Dame Helen described Meir as a formidable, intransigent and powerful leader, and said it was a great challenge to portray her at the most difficult moment of her extraordinary life. But critics on social media described the production as fascism, sick and tasteless. And of course, we do say that it's wrong to call people on the left fascists, but Israel is not really on the left, is it? It's a very, very right wing. I think all the right-wing Jews, they end up moving to Israel and they end up being nationalists in Israel. And all the left-wing Jews, we end up with them in our nations. And of course, they promote their left-wing ideas in our nations, which weaken our nations. But you wouldn't expect them to do anything different, really, because they understand that all the different ethnicities of the world are competing together for influence and power, and there's nothing wrong in them doing so. The people that are doing things wrong are white people, because we seem to have become convinced, we've convinced ourselves that this competition doesn't exist, that there's no such thing as Darwinism and survival of the fittest, and we just think that we should be doing everything for all these other peoples now, and if we don't do everything for these other peoples, then we're a nasty, mean racist. And that's really a suicidal way of thinking. And we can complain as much as we like about the way that Jews behave, but that isn't going to solve this problem, is it? It's not going to make white people more ethnocentric. It's just going to make us appear like we're crying over spilt milk and as if we're just blaming other people for something which is really a fault within ourselves. It's a fault within ourselves that we've turned our back on our traditions, and we've given up on understanding this idea that there is this competition. I mean, it's just logical. You have limited resources within the territory, and if you have more than one ethnic group in that territory, then it's going to be competing against the other ethnic group for the limited resources. I mean, it is just basic rules of life that we have given up on here. So people are calling Dame Helen a fascist here and saying that she's sick and she's tasteless. But I mean, really, she's just showing loyalty for this other group. And as she says, she might well be a crypto Jew. So you would expect her to show loyalty to this other group. If it was Mel Gibson, then you would not be expecting him to show loyalty to this other group. I mean, he is quite outspoken, isn't he, and about his loyalty to Christians. One Twitter user who said they were Palestinian and proud wrote, "How sick, making a biopic on criminal Golda Meir, and yes, no surprise, Helen Mirren, the racist, is happy to portray the pure distorted version of a disgusting individual." Well, did the Israelis win that war? I mean, that's all it really needs to be judged on. The Arabs attacked the Israelis. Did the Israelis win or did they lose? If they won, then Golda Meir won the war. I guess you could say, well, if you look at Britain and the Allies, well, yes, the Allies did win the war against Germany, but they won it by dishonest means. But they did win the war, and you can't actually take that away from them. And when you are fighting in a war, the whole point of the war is to win. And even Adolf Hitler said that. Adolf Hitler said that during the First World War, when the two sides stopped to play a game of football, he didn't like that. He thought that was wrong, because he said the most important thing in the war is to win the war, and then you can play your football afterwards in the peace. But you don't stop halfway through. And that is really, I guess you could call it extenuating circumstances. I mean, the Allies did want to get that war over and done with, and that's why they did the terror bombing, trying to get it over and done with as quickly as possible. It was, and we can look at it now and say, well, that was terrible. All these civilians were murdered, but the point was to win the war. Obviously, what went on after the war was not just, with a kangaroo court and everything else. And I don't know what went on after this Arab-Israeli war. It is something that I need to look into, I think. Another critic wrote, "Helen Mirren doing a film about the first female prime minister of Israel is a slap in the face to all the people of Palestine. They are literally celebrating taking over Palestine and taking families out of their homes, murdering children and families. Tasteless film." But of course, it's a film that's made by Hollywood, and Hollywood has a large majority of Jews in it. It's a film about this Prime Minister of Israel, and obviously they're going to make it look like she's a great person. She's a wonderful person. You can't expect them to do anything different, can you? One social media user said, "It was hugely disappointing that Helen Mirren is volunteering for this role," while another wrote, "More fascism to show how wonderful Israel is." Well, it's just more ethnocentrism, isn't it? It's what you would expect Jews to do. It's what you would expect them to do, is to show loyalty to their own people, which is all that they're really doing. I think it is wrong of us to criticize Jews for being ethnocentric, for showing loyalty to their own people. It is right. The fault lies with us as white people for not showing loyalty to our own people. Born in Ukraine in 1898 before moving to the US as a child, Meir made history in 1969 as Israel's first female prime minister. She soon provoked international controversy, saying there were no such thing as Palestinians. And this gets brought up quite a lot. And people will say, oh yes, well, there are Palestinians, because we've got a mention of Palestinians going back centuries, a long time before we had any mention of Israelis. And that is one argument. And the other argument is, but there was no Palestinian state. There was no state that was run by the Palestinians. There was British administered Palestine, and you had these Arab tribes there, and they were described as Palestinians, but they didn't actually have a functioning state. So that's really what she's referring to here. Meir faced huge criticism in Israel for failing to adequately prepare for the threat of war, despite receiving word that Syrian forces were gathering for an attack. And it was the Syrians and the Egyptians that started that war. Following the backlash for her handling of the war, Meir announced her resignation in 1974, and she died in 1978, aged 80. Dame Helen has faced criticism in the past for saying that she was a believer in Israel and that she rejected calls to boycott the country. I'm supportive of Israel as well. I think the Jews should have a homeland. Every country in the world ends up having to be fought for. I mean, everywhere is populated. And if you're going to expand with your people, then you have to have a country and you have to fight for that country. That's just the way that things are. If you look at America, Australia, New Zealand, they all had another people that were living on there first. And we knew in Europe that the lands in Europe were not going to be enough to sustain us. So we went out and we conquered these other lands which were not being made use of. The resources were not being made use of. So we built these civilizations there. And in some cases, we ended up fighting against the natives there, particularly in America. So that is the example that we have set as Europeans. And that is the example that the Jews have followed in Israel. Yes, there were people there originally, but those people that were there did not have a civilization there. They were traveling about on donkeys and carts. They didn't even have motor engines. And the Jews went there with help from Germany, in fact, which gets covered up, a lot of help from Germany. And they built the land up and they started their state. They started Israel and they did turn it into a first world civilization, obviously with a lot of help from the West. But you can't take it away from them that what was originally a desert that really didn't have much there, they rebuilt it into the country that they have today. We did do a good series on this, myself and Dennis Wise. It's titled Jewish Immigration in the Third Reich, which actually looks at the formation of Israel, because it was nationalist Jews that were going there, and the Germans were quite happy for them to go there. They wanted Jews to identify as being Jews rather than to identify as being German. So the National Socialists worked with the Zionist organizations to help Jews to go over to Palestine and build this country. And they provided training for them. I mean, Germans themselves couldn't actually get out of Germany at the time, but the Jews got lots of help to get out of Germany and build the country. The film itself also stars Call My Agent actress Camille Cotton as Meir's personal assistant and Israeli Lior Ashkenazi as her chief of staff. And I bet the movie gets lots of good reviews, whether it's any good or not. It's bound to get good reviews because of the subject matter. And again, because there are lots of Jews that are involved in the movie industry, reviewing films and reviewing movies. And they are going to show their ethnocentrism by supporting this movie. So the point that I really want to make about this is this this strange situation where we're in, where it is okay for Jews to complain that somebody that is not a Jew is playing a famous Jewish character, and that's okay, and they don't get accused of racism or being anti-white or anything like that. And yet when we complain about black people playing historically white characters, we get accused of being racists and white supremacists and all the rest. And the main ones that are doing that a lot of the time, that are calling us out on this and saying that we're racist for this, are Jews themselves. And this is the funny thing, really. I mean, I just look at it as being humorous now. The way that they will criticize us for doing exactly what they're doing. And then on our side of it, we will criticize them for the bad way they treat the Palestinians. But in actual fact, they're not doing anything different to the way that we treated the Red Indians. A lot of the time, it really is six of one and half a dozen of the other. And what we really need to look at is which side is being the most ethnocentric, which side is showing the most loyalty to its people. That is an admirable thing. And when we look at the way that these groups compete against us, if we look at the way that Jews are competing against us, if they are succeeding, then, you know, we really can't criticize what they're doing if they're succeeding. The only people we can criticize is ourselves. If we perceive ourselves to be losing in this competition, we're the ones we need to be critiquing. We are the ones that need to be changing our attitude and doing things in a different way. Because you're not going to convince Jews to do things. in a different way. They've had more success than they've ever had in the last 100 years. They've had more success than in the last 2,000 years. So quite clearly, whatever it is they're doing is successful, and it's proving to be a good thing for them to be doing that. So we don't really have a leg to stand on to criticize them for that. Yes, we can talk about some of the ways that they have succeeded, or some of the ways that they have reached that success, but only with a view to how can we ourselves start succeeding again? How can we ourselves start winning again? And I think the way to do that is we have to start looking at things objectively. We have to give credit where credit is due. And we have to encourage our own people to start feeling ethnocentric again. We have to get our own people involved in positive ethnocentrism and showing loyalty to our own people above everyone else. And one of the ways we can do that is to point out the ethnocentrism of the Jews and say, well, what a good thing it is. And that makes a nice change from pointing out things that Jews do and saying, well, what a bad thing that is. You know, the Jews do have a lot of, there are a lot of commendable things about the way that Jews treat other Jews. And we could learn from that. Of course, I'm not saying we should behave like Jews. They are a completely different ethnicity to us. And in a lot of ways, their ways just don't make sense to us. But the one thing that they do, which everyone should emulate, is the loyalty that they show to their own people. And if we could only get white people showing as much loyalty to other whites as Jews do to other Jews, then we would soon be winning this competition again, and we'd be back on top of the world again, where we were just a couple of hundred years ago. The lack of standing that white people have in the world, it does coincide with our lack of ethnocentrism and our turning our back on our traditions. And of course, Jews have never turned their back on their traditions, have they? They continued following them for the last 2,000 years, and that's managed to keep their nation intact, and it's managed to gain them power and influence. And of course, our Christian traditions, we've turned on its head. We don't follow what the Bible says anymore. We follow these modern interpretations of it. And that's even if we claim to be Christian. Many of us are now atheists, and many of us follow these ideas that we came out with in the Enlightenment, which really turns our back on all our traditions. So again, there's something that we can see there, something that we can learn from the Jews. If you stick with your traditions, then you're obviously going to be using your talents, your best talents. Otherwise, they would not have become turned into traditions. And I think our best talent is the way that we look at things objectively. And I do think we need to be looking at this struggle objectively and giving credit where credit is due. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.